It is in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. The 14th chapter of the book of Numbers that I believe the Lord would have me say a word. And it is that 8th verse. Numbers 14 and 8. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Amen. If the Lord delights in us, he will give us the land. I want to talk about an alternative to defeat. An alternative to defeat. There are signs all across this country that chaos and defeat is imminent. You don't have to go far. You don't have to but listen to radio and look at television and discover that there is pending doom, pending chaos. Whether or not it is our continued rapid inflationary rate or interest rate, whether or not it is the continued rise in unemployment, whether or not it is the continued promiscuous immorality, whether or not it is the crime, increase in crime in our country, whether or not it is corruption in high places, whether or not it is dishonesty in government, or whether or not it is the coldness in our churches. There are signs all around that chaos, doom, defeat, and failure is among our possible alternatives. That as we stand and sit here today, and as many of you watch on television, that there is no longer the overwhelming evidence that we have to succeed. That there is no such thing as even our blessed America or even our churches as we have known them in and of themselves must succeed. There is a possibility of failure, of doom, of chaos all around us. And those who are not able to see that are sleeping and need to be awakened. And if you lived in some other city, you could easily be awakened by the fact that there is crime, there is pornography, there is viciousness, there is malice, there is hatred, there is division, there is all kinds of increments that lead towards failure. Failure is everywhere. The signs of failure is everywhere. And so, I want to suggest that there is an alternative, and we find it out of an Old Testament account. An Old Testament account says that there is alternative, that men need not perish, that men and countries need not go to ruin, that there is possibility that God, through his infinite mercy, based on our faith and his grace, we can overcome. Amen. And it takes the church, and it takes a preacher, and it takes a preacher prophet to say to this untoward generation, if you will come back to God, if you will repent, if you will forsake your ways, if you will return unto the Lord, then the Lord has something good in store.
Amen.
You will recall, of course, that Moses sent out spies, one from every tribe, to spy out the land. Moses said, I want you to go now. We're nearing the land that has been promised to us, that flows with milk and honey. And we want now that you go over and take a look at it. Affirm that what we have been seeking for is really there. Go up and take a look at the land and bring us back a report about the land so that we may then go into the land. You will recall that 10 of these such persons came back with a report, and they said, first of all, there is a lamb, and it flows with milk and honey, and there are pomegranates, and there are grapes. And two of us had to take a bunch of grapes. It took two of us to bring some back to show you how this land is. There is a land. There is a land which flows with milk and honey. There is a land that's full of grapes. And I might add bananas. That's my favorite fruit. There is a land that has all of these things for which we have fought. There is a land. God did not lie to us. There is a land.
Amen.
There is a land. And it has everything that God said. But these 10 said, but there is one thing that God did not tell us. And that is, this land is occupied. The Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Canaanites are in that land. This is not a land that nobody is living in. This is not a land where nobody has occupied. That land is occupied. And it is occupied by people who make us look like grasshoppers. There are giants in that land. That land is a land that is fortified. That land is a land of giants. That land cannot be taken. And they began to grumble. And they began to say, well, we knew it was a trick all along. That our God has brought us out here to leave us. Our God has inspired us to come on a journey that he knew would be certain death. And Moses, you and Aaron are part of the conspiracy. You knew we couldn't do this. And the people wailed, and the people cried, and the people moaned, and the people did what people always do. They rose up against God and God's man. And they said, in so many words, because I'm used to business meeting, they said, we make a motion. We have two motions. We want to declare the pulpit vacant. We need a new leader. And we want to go back to where we came from. We'll die in Egypt. And that motion had many seconds. And that motion had much support. That motion was illogical and irrational, because somebody should have suggested, if we move to go back, who will help us cross the Red Sea? If we move to go back, who will feed us with manna from on high? Uh-huh. If we move to go back, who will help us when the serpents start biting? Right. And when we need water, who will give it to us out of a dry rock? Because you can never depend on God when you're in a backward movement.
Amen.
God gave us water.
Amen.
God opened up the Red Sea. God fought our battle, but at that time we were forward march.
Amen.
But under this new arrangement, there's nobody to help us. But somebody caught the motion. Somebody had an unreadiness. Caleb and Joshua. And they steeled the crowd. And they said, first of all, we want to agree the land is occupied. And compared to us, we do look like grasshoppers. And the land does offer many challenges and many problems. But let's go forward to possess it.
Amen.
And in my mind, I can hear the argument. What guns? What soldiers? Who will help us? Who will give us ammunition? But then Joshua in this 8th verse says, great battles are not won that way. And we don't need ammunition. We don't need extra soldiers. We don't need giants to match their giants. We have a giant.
Amen.
And if the Lord is pleased with us, then not us, not our ammunition, our military power, our ability, but God will bring us into the land.
Amen.
And God will give us the land. My brothers and sisters, as I stand here today, there are all kinds of threats to America. There are all kinds of threats to the church. There's all kinds of needs at Liberty College, at Mount Zion Church. We face all kinds of problems. We face the staggering economy. We face inflation. We face all of those. And if we listen with the eyes and look at the eyes and listen with the ears of secularism and humanism and materialism, we face defeat. But there's another way.
Amen.
There's another way. There's a way that was used by my grandparents and great-grandparents when they were slaves, when they were in chains, when there were no armies to deliver us, there were no guns to defend us, they developed a little song, Steal Away to Jesus. Steal away. Steal away. When you don't have no president in the White House, when you don't have no governor in the mansion, when you don't have no mayor in the city, when you don't have no councilmen on the bench, when you don't have anything to fortify, not deliver you physically, steal away.
Amen.
As another alternative. And so Joshua argued the case that we have not come here by ourselves. God has brought us here.
Amen.
And that all we have to do is delight ourselves, that the Lord delights in us, God will deliver us. Because you see, brothers and sisters, what we've got to understand is that it is not ours as Christians to please the Congress, to please the President, to please this nation, but it is ours to please our God.
Amen.
And when our God is pleased, when our God is happy, when our God looks down on Thomas Rhodes and is pleased and happy, when our God looks at Pastor Gerald Farwell and is happy, our God is able.
Amen.
Ah, our God is able. He's able to back water up and let you cross on dry land. He's able to marshal the stars of the heavens and fight against your enemy. He's able to open the ground and let your enemy be swallowed up. Our God is able.
Amen.
Midst of all of this modern age, in the midst of all of our technology, in the midst of all of our materialism, don't you forget our God. The strongest thing about our church is not our building, not our machinery, not our eloquence, not our membership, but our God.
Amen.
Ah, then in whom is our God delighted? What can we do to delight Him? Will 10,000 rams delight Him? Will 50,000 sheep delight Him? Will thousands of dollars in silver and gold delight Him? No. God is looking for a congregation, a multitude of congregations, a people who will humble themselves, repent of their sin, get down on their knees, cry unto God for mercy and for grace and for leadership. In this dark hour, our God will hear you cry. David says that if you find a place somewhere and say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and thy tender mercy, God will hear you cry.
Amen.
And so there is alternative to defeat. There is another way. There is another answer. There is hope. There is a light shining. There are stars twinkling. There is joy somewhere. And that is in our God.
Amen.
Our God can deliver us. Our God can rescue us.
Yes.
Our God will rescue us.
Amen.
And the only thing He requires is that He delights in us.
Amen.
What would make Him delight in us even as I close this morning? He would delight in somebody in this auditorium bowing your head and saying, I have sinned. I have come short of the glory of God. He would delight in a member who would bow your head and say, Lord, I realize that I have walked contrary to your will and contrary to your way. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but I'm here to repent this morning. He would delight right there in your television room, in your living room, if you'd slip down on your knees right now.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I see no other way. I know no other answer. There's no other help that I know. And if you would stretch your hands to Him, He would delight in you.
Amen.
And you know the one who makes God happy? Do you know what God is getting ready to shout about? Not the singer, though eloquent they may be, not the preacher, not the choir, but He's getting ready to shout. Somebody in this audience and in this television audience will say, forgive me, Lord, and bless me with your Spirit. There is another way. It does not involve bombers. It does not involve nuclear preparation. It does not involve inflation nor interest rates. It involves a nation who decides that as of this day and throughout the year, we will so live that He will delight in us.
Amen.
And if He does, He will bring us into the land.